Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. As I was introduced, I will tell you a bit today about how we do, or how we involve community in our development cycle, basically. And before we start with that, I want to tell you a bit about myself. So there you can see my bookshelf, or one of my bookshelves. As you can see, I would also be very happy if I could win that Lego Dark Falcon that we're currently reveling today. But alas, we cannot. But a bit about myself. I'm a Swabian. If you talk to me in German, you might hear that as well. I do love to cook and to bake. I do bake a really good strawberry cake. And maybe you can already see the D&D books in my bookshelf. I'm also a D&D game master. Love playing that game. And I'm also the co-organizer of the UX meetup Bayerisch Schwaben. So again, something with Swabian. So I'm a within the community a lot, doing some stuff. And besides that, I do work at CheckMK. We are an IT monitoring software with open source roots. And this is really amazing. And I know some people already here, but I want to ask you, please raise your hand. Who of you have ever heard of CheckMK before? Yay, that's amazing. Who of you is actually a user of CheckMK? Okay, that's also nice. Very great. Okay. So what is IT monitoring? Just two quick words around that. We basically make it transparent what is happening in an IT infrastructure and everything around that. My journey at CheckMK started in 2022. I started as the first UX professional there. And fortunately, I'm no longer alone because there's a lot of things to do. We are currently a team of three person. You can see us there. And in summer, the fourth person is starting in our little team, which is pretty amazing. But I love my team, I love all of my colleagues, but honestly the best thing about CheckMK is our user community. I really love working together with you guys, and the good thing is also you're making my life so easy as a UX designer. Because the main thing is, I'm not the user. I'm not an IT sysadmin. The past 2 days, I really realized how little I know about Linux, open source, and anything regarding to that. So I'm really not the user of that tool. And that's a good thing, that I can work together with the community. Otherwise, something like this might happen. So we would maybe say, okay, that's a really nice UI, it looks so pretty, but all you guys are seeing are basically the assets of the little plushies. So we want to, of course, avoid that. And there comes the community into place. And we are very thankful for our open source roots as well, because community and open source, that is just very much big love. This just works together very well. You all know that as you are in the open source area somehow. It's about code contributions, like extension improvements. We have that in CheckMK as well. We're regularly working with PRs from people and just generally with code contributions. Also feedback, bugs, beta testing, or any suggestions. That's where the community comes into place because you guys are using the tool or project or whatever it is. So that feedback is so valuable. And last but not least, at least from that list, the support is also very strong within the community, sharing best practices, troubleshooting together, or just giving general advice about things. And that makes a community really strong. And those are not the only things. When I started to research a bit, there is so much more when it comes to community and open source tools, which is so amazing. And at CheckMK, we also want to go a bit further. We want to do community-driven UX. And to explain that a little bit better, I want to first just talk a bit about what does UX actually mean. And UX, you cannot confuse that with UI because it's not the same thing. UX is basically describing the experience of a system, and this means it starts before someone is actually interacting with that system. So you're maybe thinking about checking out CheckMK, so you will be setting a certain set of expectations for yourself. Like, I do expect that it's easy to use, or that I can just download it, start right away, whatever. You have your expectations, which play into how you will perceive the overall system. Then during the actual interaction, it's about the satisfaction during the usage and the actual usability. So basically, it's about the ease of use and how efficient you are using it. And then afterwards, there's where you kind of match the expectations with what was actually happening. So we want, of course, deliver on the expectation, but that's then up to what your expectation were, how satisfied you were during it, and how you felt after it. So it's basically about how you perceive the user experience in the end. And our goal, of course, is to achieve a positive user experience so that in the end, after you use CheckMK or whatever other tool, you feel like, yes, this is amazing. I love that. It was a really good experience. I want to do it again. And our strategy to do that is to create an ongoing dialogue between us and our users. And there are a lot of benefits of doing that. So on top of making my life a lot easier, it also drives continuous improvements. So when we are in an open dialogue, we will get constant feedback so that we can always challenge ourselves and strive to be better. We can also do more reliable prioritization because we actually know what would be the impact of a certain feature or a certain improvement. We can also enhance the usability in the end, because if we don't know how the usability is, where the problems are, we can't improve it, basically. And last but not least, and for me, that's kind of the most important thing, we uncover our blind spots with that. As the saying, you never know what you don't know. And that's really true, especially when it comes to improving the user experience, because if we don't know where the problems actually lie, how can we solve them? How can we make it better? So if we involve the community all of the time and really work together with them, we can uncover those blind spots more easily. There are a lot of methods on how to do that. And I want to present you my 5 go-to methods just very quickly before we look at some examples. And the first one would be surveys. So basically just a questionnaire that we send out to ask about some basic things. The next one is a user interview. That's basically just a structured conversation that you have with people, very easy to do. Next is usability testing, where you observe the participants when they're actually using CheckMK. So there you can uncover very nicely usability problems or where there's some friction points where something is just not working as people are expecting it, or they're just getting some errors or whatever. So it's a really nice way to do it. Then, and this is very new for me, but it turns out to be my favorite method yet. It's a bug bash, which is a really fun event where you just get together with like 15 to 20 people and just test whatever you want to test. Like, I will show you some example later, but you will just test together something and find hopefully as many bugs as possible so that you can solve them in the end. So far, we have only done them internal, but we are planning to do them public as well. And the next one is informal feedback, which is not really a method, but that's just what is happening. Getting emails, seeing in the forum some feedback, talking to people a bit about it. You get a lot of informal feedback. So it's also kind of a method, but not as structured as the rest. So let's dive into an actual example. And I pulled out the notifications, which we recently reworked, or currently are still reworking, as a community-driven project. Because this is a really, really good example, because all of the 5 methods that I just showed you, we did them all within a notification project. And we did that based on an iterative process. So we started with understanding the problem, what is actually going wrong with the notifications. We then defined, okay, what can we do about it? How can we solve the problems? Created a prototype, tested the prototype, and then did it all over again. And we did that a couple of times with different methods to get closer to a really, really good result when it comes to notifications. I think that's enough theory around how we work. Let's look into it. Notifications in CheckMK means if you're monitoring something, you of course want to know when something is actually going wrong, when everything is going to shit. You want to get an email or at least anything that you might should take a look at it. So it's kind of a critical topic, and in our current major release version, the 2.3, it looks like this. I did collapse some of the sections that we have there, because I wanted to show you it's just a huge list of options listed underneath each other. A really, 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 really long list of options. And we reworked that because we found out that it's not so easy to use. I want to show you, I will show you later on why it was not so easy to use. And we reiterated on that a couple of times. We created a mock-up for it. A mock-up is kind of a picture of how it should look like. So there's no code involved at all. It just basically shows the options that could be there or could not be there. And this helps to visualize the solution before we actually put it into development so that we don't waste any resources too early. And in the end, we came up with this. So instead of a very long list of options, we divided it more into different steps to have a guided process that really guides you through how to set up your notifications with CheckMK. And yeah, you have seen now the current state, an in-between state, and the future state that will be released very soon. But how did we reach those different states? Before we started with the implementation, so before any line of code was actually written, we started with user interviews. The goal there was to better understand the problem space of why not, or what's happening with the notifications. All in all, we asked 5 partners and users of ours to tell us a bit about what is happening, and we found out a lot. We actually stopped after the 5 interviews because the answers were repeating a lot. So there's a lot of things too that were wrong with the notifications, but it also repeated a lot. So we stopped because we didn't get any new information, and that's also what we kind of always do. We do the interviews or usability tests as long as we receive no longer any new information that helps us, and it's just repeating all over again. Based on the user interviews, we then ran a survey. So it's the first survey that we ran in the notifications because we wanted to set the insights from the interviews a bit into context. So we had some qualitative ideas about, okay, what we should do, but we wanted to quantify that a bit. So we drafted up 9 questions and asked 86 participants in the end to better prioritize what we should actually do. Like, for example, asking them, what notification methods are you actually using? What's important? Do you get an email? Do you have it connected to Jira, Ops Genie, ServiceNow? What's the preferred method around that? And based on that, we could do a really nice prioritization, what methods to update, and what problems to solve, basically. So then we started with the mockups. But during that designing of the mockups, we also said, okay, but in the end, we want to really, really know where people are currently making the wrong choices or where are those friction points. So we decided that we need some more information, and we conducted a benchmark usability test. So this means that we observed our user, how they're using the current setup process of the notifications, so the long list of everything. And let me tell you guys, this was insanely frustrating for me to watch because it was such a huge list of options and people were really searching for the right option they should use and ultimately gave up and just used Control F to find the right option. And every one of those 9 participants did that. And it was just, I was sitting there and it was so frustrating to watch, but it also showed that the current structure just did not give any kind of hints on where you should start looking for something. The only real, I mean, using Control F was actually the best way to find the options that you were looking for, because everything else was just taking so long if you not always use the options and not know right away where it is. So this was very nice for us to identify problem areas and where the common mistakes were happening. And then, after the benchmark usability test, we also ran free usability tests with our new concept. So we created prototypes, which are basically click dummies, so images that you connected with a tool together. So if someone clicks on a button, the next image shows up, basically. It's a lot of work for the designer, but no work for the developer. So we tested that, which is nice sometimes. We did 3 rounds of those usability tests. So we tested with 4 participants each in each round. And after each round, we reiterated on the concept. So I think it was happening over a course of 2 weeks. So pretty close together, everything was kind of stressful as well to always come up with the new prototype. But it was also very rewarding because we could solve the problems that came out of the usability tests right away and could retest it if it was really an improvement or if we didn't make it worse. And then we also said, okay, we want to have that measurable. How much did the usability now actually improve? Like, it seems like it's better. People do less errors. They are a bit faster. But did it really improve? Did it really feel like they improved after? So we are now in this, did we deliver on the expectation section when it comes to the user experience? So, and there's something that comes into play. You can really measure usability. And there are multiple ways to do that. My favorite one is to do a system usability score. This sounds way more complicated than it is, because it's just a standardized usability score, which is very quick and reliable and based on 10 questions that are formed as a statement where you have to say if you agree with the statement or disagree with the statement. In the end, it produces a score from 0 to 100. And on the right side, you can now see that a score below 51 is considered awful, so very bad, and a score above 80.3 is considered excellent. So, of course, we strive for the excellent part, right? Fortunately, we also did that benchmark usability test in the beginning, so we actually had a benchmark of how it's currently received. And it was a 64, which was a D. It was not awful, but it was very poor. So, actually, that's good because it could only get better, right? So, that's also nice to know. And after those, in the last round of the usability test, in the 3rd round, we actually achieved 93. So, yeah, right? This was really amazing. Thank you. I was really happy about that as well. It was an improvement of 29 and is considered a grade A excellent. Of course, you have to take the score with a grain of salt, unfortunately. Because, I gave them a scenario which they worked through with the prototype, which was, of course, not the real thing. So, if we want to really measure it, we need to do another usability test one day in the future to see how it is then perceived with the actual developed thing. But at least for now, it's a very good improvement and gave us a lot more confidence to say, okay, this is something where we want to start with implementation. This is something where we feel secure enough to say, this will be good. This will be really good. So we started with the implementation. And during that implementation, we very quickly found out that not all questions are yet clear. The devil is in the details, and so was it with the notifications. So there were some questions that came up which we didn't feel comfortable to answer them ourselves, so we did a second survey around that. It was basically about another concept we have in CheckMK called the personal notifications as well, so you don't only have the global ones, but every user can set up their own notifications as well. So we asked some questions around that. Was another survey with 10 questions. I did not write down how many people answered, but it should be around 80 to 90 as well. And this gave us, again, more confidence to make the right decisions. And so development continued. And once we had the first iteration basically done, so the first thing that we can really say, okay, this is something that can be tested, we started with our first internal bug bash. The second one we did after the development was completed. We had in total 21 internal testers, and it was so amazing because it was a mixture of developers, of consultants, of product managers. So everyone was kind of involved into that. And now I want to also share the numbers with you, how many bugs we found. And in the first one, we found 93 bugs in 1 hour. So we just tested for 1 hour, and so we found a lot of bugs. And in the second one, we found 42 bugs. Those numbers also include the duplicates and the issues that we were already working on, as we were already in the testing and fixing phase. But still, I mean, it was found by 21 people, over 100 bugs in under an hour. I'm so happy that we did that and did not wait for a public beta or whatever for people to report us the bugs. So it gave us, again, a lot more confidence that the notifications are actually quite robust, which is really amazing, even though the numbers sound quite high, to be honest. And I also want to show you how this looked like. So I'm a very practical person. So what we did for the bug bash, we just drafted up a big Google document and added a table to that with multiple columns. The first one is just basically an ID that we gave for all of them. Then we evaluated a severity, so how bad of a bug is this actually, on a score from 0, this is just cosmetic, to 4, this is really critical, we cannot release without having that. Then we also put down a status, which, and it's very nice that all of those are fixed, and I did not forge it for this presentation, I promise you. Because in the second round, the developers beforehand actually asked if we could do, after the bug bash, just a session together to fix the bugs. So we did that. After that 1 hour bug fixing session, which was in the morning, we scheduled another meeting room, basically, for 4 hours in the afternoon, where the developers and I were sitting together and fixing the bugs that we found in the bug bash, which was very satisfying. And that's also why we have that worked on by column there, where you can also see we have some ticket links to Jira, because some of them were bigger issues that should be tackled within a sprint and not just in such a session. Very important is also to note down who actually found the bug, because most of the fun is also if you make it a game, and our game was who will find the most bugs in there. So we crowned the best bug hunter, which was actually a developer, which was quite nice, it was Gavin. And he found the most bugs, and we also crowned the most unique bug. So the one where we thought, okay, interesting that you actually found that, and very interesting what actually came out of that. So gamifying that a bit was half of the fun and was really exciting. Then, of course, you have to add some description and ideally some steps to reproduce, and, of course, some screenshots to actually show what is happening. And that was it. So the setup of the document was, I don't know, around 5-10 minutes or something like that. And then we were good to go to do the bug bash. So after the bug bash, what started this week is the public beta. So at Check MK, we always do a public beta with the new release version, so you can try it out, report bugs, and everything. So anyone can test it and give us feedback to it, or with our normal channels that we do have. But we talked in the team, so also in the development team a bit, and we were like, okay, the notifications, we do have a good feeling, but who knows? They're really important. We changed some really basic stuff. There's a migration happening, an automatic migration happening. So we want to make sure that this is really a good thing. So we thought it's not ideal to just wait for feedback to come in. We want to be more proactive here as well. So we are scheduling another bug bash, and this time a public one. It will be on April the 8th, so in about 2-3 weeks or something like that. It will be part of our beta phase, and our goal really is there to increase the robustness, where anyone can join. You just have to have the beta of CheckMK there. And we're going to make the announcement via the forum next week sometime to, yeah, invite people to the bug bash, which will be really awesome. I'm looking forward to that a lot. It sounds not fun, but it's a ton of fun, to be honest. It's really amazing. And that is how the current state of what we did for the notification is. I don't know, maybe we do another round of usability testing. Maybe we do another survey. This totally depends on what comes out as the bug bash. What feedback do we get? Are there some things that we want to round out a bit more? So we keep the flexibility here to say, until it's released, or also later after it's released, let's keep working on it. Let's keep working together with the community to make it the best notifications that are possible. And that's a big project, of course. All of the things that I've just showed you, that's spanned over a year now. And not all of those projects are, of course, so big. We also involve community in, yeah, continuously. So I now want to show you some little example about continuous community-driven UX. And first, let's take a look at the curious case of and or not operator, which is something that we implemented in the 2.2. So it's a bit older, but I still like this example a lot because it was, for me as a UX designer, actually quite challenging. So we wanted to introduce for our labels a new filter option so that you can introduce that and or not operator to make some more complex filters around it. And we drafted up two concepts. On the left side, with this arrow indicating, you can see that to add more labels into the equation, you have to click on a button. There's also some nesting happening here, so you could add also a new group, and you have also to click on the button for that. On the right side, on the other hand, the new input fields, the new option for adding a label are popping up automatically once you've entered something in the last available input field. So you have always like this empty input fields there where you can enter something right away. We discussed this internally a bit and we came to the conclusion we are not sure what to do with it. So we said, okay, let's ask the community, and we did a survey around that. I think it was actually the first survey that I ran at CheckMK, very nice. And what came out of it? It's not so nice. So the left one, 45% preferred the left version and 55% preferred the right version. Of course, you could not just say, let's go with the 55, that's good enough. But I'm not that into statistics, but I'm into statistics enough to feel bad about that. Because we reached around 100 people with that survey, and that's not statistically significant enough to decide for the one or the other option. So this was an indecisive result, unfortunately. But maybe not so unfortunately, because in the survey, we also asked another question. And this was basically just them asking to explain why they chose the one version over the other version. And there it became very clear that it was basically the left side was more with more intention behind it. So you had to do it with intentions. And it did feel less cluttered because a button is a bit smaller than a whole input field. And the right side was way more efficient. So if you just want to enter some labels, that's way more efficient to do. You can just start typing all of the time. Really, really nice. So both has disadvantages and both had advantages. So we just said, why not both? Let's combine them. And that's what we ended up with. So for if you want to add a new group, so a new nesting to that query, you have to click on a button, but within a group, you can just, the new input field is popping up automatically, which has the nice advantage if you want to do some very simple queries. You can do that so easily, that's so fast to do. And if you want to do more complicated ones, you have to click on a button to do that. So we also kind of made it possible for new users who don't want to do something too complicated, want to be more efficient, they can do that very easily. And the ones who are a bit more experienced, they can do something with more intention behind it while still being efficient enough. And this was a really nice example for me. I learned during that a lot as well, how to deal with indecisive results. And the next one was we recently reworked the HTTP checks in CheckMK, so how you monitor or set up the monitoring for HTTP. And we also ran a usability test around that. And I want to give you some insights into how we do that. Or basically, how do we analyze them? And I have a screenshot of one of those usability tests. So we always set a scenario. In this case, the scenario was you want to monitor the website paypal.de. The service should check if HTTPS with TLS 1.2 or higher is working. Additionally, the website should answer within 200 or 400 milliseconds. And then we just said, and now what would you do? Go. And we observed what they were doing. And for that, we always draft up a little table where we say, okay, did they do it easily? Had they some difficulties with it? Did they need some guidance? So did we need to support them a bit so that they could get on? Or did they not found it anyhow? And we also have a column for adding any comment if we have something that is there. And then it's just on the left side, you can see the steps a user has to take, or the participant has to take to successfully complete the scenario. And as the moderator of the test, I could just simply add the exits wherever I felt like was the right way to go. And this very, the cool thing about this is it shows so nicely patterns. So you have to imagine I have then participant next to participant next to participant, which makes it so easy to see where the most important friction points are. And in this case, it was so easy because most of them struggled with finding the change connection build up setting to change the TLS version because they could not, they did not understand the connection between TLS and the label change connection build up. So they never found or had needed some additional guidance to find that option. So for us, it was very clear on what we need to do to make it better. We need to make it clearer where the TLS is actually set and maybe change the label or do something else. And that's basically the next step that we do with after usability test, another table where we then collect all of the problems that we have witnessed, observed during the usability test, describe the problem around it, maybe add a comment, and then the most important thing, we add a recommendation around it. So what would be the ideal thing to do? And sometimes that recommendation is also, as you can maybe read in the first row, nothing can be done about this one. This is a bigger issue that needs to be tackled holistically. And this was basically that they did not found the rule to set up the HTTP monitoring because there was not the right keyword in the search for it. So that's a bigger issue that we have with our search. And sometimes that's also kind of what comes out of it, but it makes it way more transparent of where these problems are actually happening. And then last but not least, we have not yet talked about informal feedback, so I just want to talk quickly about that. You're very good in the time. And for that, when I started at CheckMK, very quickly, I was the go-to person for any feedback regarding UX, usability, or UI, which was amazing because I got so much things where I could work on. We have had so many quick wins as well because it was just little things sometimes. But very quickly, it also came very overwhelming how much feedback I got. So I did the most logical thing for me. I love Google Sheets or Excel. I drafted up a new table to collect all of the feedback that I'm getting. And it's not just from the community, it's also internally where I get a ton of feedback, which is so amazing. But you need to have a place where you collect it, otherwise, at least I, because I have a bad memory, I will totally forget about them. And I've also put here the screenshot of how this looks like currently. On the top, we have one of the topics that's very important for me, and I really hope that we can fix that soon. So left, you can always see what's the topic around it. For the first row is, we have this little function in CheckMK, show more, show less, which is really pain. Then in the next column, we have a recommendation, but this is what we discussed in the UX team, what's the next step to do it. So for show more, show less, it's to consider it for the next release version, for the 2.5. It could be also that we need to refine it with development, that we need to do some research, that because the problem is not clear, that we need to draft up a concept, or that it's maybe a quick win, so we can write a Jira ticket right away, basically. Then the next two columns help with the prioritization. Because if you have so many things in there, and I think there are currently over 100 things in that table, you have to prioritize them a bit. And there are multiple frameworks to do them. And one of them is the RISE score, which includes how many people does it reach, so to reach, how big of an impact is it to do it, how confident are you that it's the right thing to do, and how much effort would it involve doing. So we based it on the RISE score, but added another thing into the equation, and it's the persistency. So basically, how easy is it to overcome the problem? Because sometimes, even though it's a really annoying problem, once you know about it, you can overcome it easily, but sometimes it's in your face all of the time, and you get annoyed all of the time by it. So we wanted to include it in the equation. Based on that, we could also derive the UX severity around it. So how bad of a usability problem is it? Which is just the persistency, the rise, persistency, the reach, and the impact just added together, multiplied together. Next column is just the elements, so where do we find it? And then the most important one is the source, where we collect all of the sources where this got added. And as you can see, for the show more, show less, it's a really long list, and it's mostly forum posts where the solution was all show more, show less is shitty. But sometimes, as you can see in the row below, it's also that I got an email, or that it was a result from a microsurvey, or that it was from our ideas portal or something. So there are multiple different sources, and when we put it there, we can also remember and especially if we solve it, then also talk to the person who reported it to us so that they know about it, that this is not being solved. So, these are all of the examples I want to show. And to round out my presentation, I just want to give you some of the best practices for community-driven UX if you ever want to do it in a project or in a tool, because it's really great and it's also so much fun, to be honest. Even if you're not a UX designer or something similar, you don't have to be, you can do it as well. The first thing is just be open and transparent. It's a two-way street, so you can't expect your community to be open and transparent if you're not open and transparent, so it just goes both ways. Then if you're talking to your users, always ask about the past and the present. Don't ask about the future. That's very important because people constantly lie about the future. So if you ask them, would you use that feature? They will most likely say yes, especially if they like you. Ask them if it solves a problem that they're currently having. Okay. Then the next thing is, and that's really important if you work together with the community, I'm sure, I talk a lot and I like talking, but it's very important that you listen more and talk less. If you have the most, if you do the biggest share of talking when you talk to, or when you have a conversation with your community, then you do something wrong. You have to listen more. Then, very important, always learn and adapt. Not everything is working, not everything is working for us. The public bug bash will also be an experiment. We don't know if this is something we will do more often. We will just adapt, learn from it, do more things, and just be very flexible around it. And last but not least, be proactive. Start the dialogue with your community. It's really worth it, and it's really a lot of fun. And then I just want to share beer grills with you, because I think that's a really nice motto to go by. Always improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what we do at Check MK as well. It's really fun, and there you get some nice learnings out of it all of the time. And that's it. Thank you very much. So yeah, and questions, I guess.
If you have questions, please wait for the microphone. Okay, coming.
Hi.
Hi.
Does it work? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for the great presentation. So I have a question to the first part of the talk. So to the part with the filter options.
The filter.
And in the beginning, you made the survey and so on. And I guess you made a survey in your community, and there you had 90 participants. How did you choose the testers for your test cases? Were they from the community, or were they from Check MK internal?
Yeah, so we all when we do usability tests, we only do them with our community. So sometimes we do pre-tests internally, but those don't count, let's put it that way. So we have multiple channels, which is really amazing. We have our forum, we have a mailing list, which is just dedicated to research announcements, and that's how we basically find the people there. So we usually send out if we want to run a usability test, we send out a survey where they can sign up for that because of data stuff and everything. And there we ask some questions around it, like, for example, how big is their environment, or what, in this case, what notification methods are they using? And based on that criteria, we then select the users that we want to talk with. I always try to mix it up because we have some people who are really active in our community, and I love them for that, but we don't want to build island solutions for them. We want to include we want to mix it up a bit, so we always try to also include people who maybe signed up for the first time. So come.
No more questions? Okay, then thank you very much for the talk. And
you're welcome. Thank you too. We also have some stickers up front if you want to have a sticker or a pen or something like that. Very good.